Because honestly, it's like one of my biggest weaknesses. But like I said, like if it's not there, I don't think it's that bad. And that game, the Habitica game that you showed me, is helping me a lot with everything else.
You just view it and you're like, fuck yeah. Like one of mine is like just like, view your like goals for today. I'm like, yeah, I know if like I could forget this for like 2 weeks and kind of lose track of like one of them, like focus on trying to make money, language, but I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot the spirituality side and the self-control.
Wait, so you don't look at all of them every day?
No, I do for the to-do list, but for the habits, it's different. So I have
the habits is different. Like
I barely even look at it.
Cause we're supposed to give ourselves like, Lem showed me this game called Habitica. It's helping you like set good habits for your life, and it's honestly been life changing. But you guys should all look into this, anyone who's listening. But the way that I set it up is like I look at it every day, and it really clicked with me because my buddy Brody, who's kind of like my peak performance productivity coach, he says he likes to have his morning routine on a checklist because it feels good to check everything. And he has it on Evernote, but I'm like, oh, that's just an extra step. I don't think that's going to help me feel good. But on Habitica, it actually feels good to check everything in the mornings. I literally see my character, like, gain experience.
Yeah.
You know? And so I told them about it. That's why I want to create a guild, but I guess I can't invite them to the party, but I'm just going to create, like, a guild. We're, like, talking about all this. Nobody knows what it is. Get Habitica if you guys are into habits. That should actually be, like, one of our topics of, like, discussion here is, like, habits and stuff.
Yeah.
But, let me just introduce you real quick in case somebody's listening, they don't know who you are. Me and Lem, we've known each other for, what, like 7 years now?
Pretty long, yeah.
It's been like 7 years. Well, 2012, did I meet you? 2011?
I know it was before 21. I was like 19, and I'm 26 now, so at least 7 years. Maybe I was 18.
I think it's at least 7 years as well. And we met because we were both in Connecticut, and there was a forum for guys who want to improve themselves and are into pickup, so we kind of met there, and then we were just both into self-improvement and nerdy stuff, and we're both Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu blue belts. I was going to say black belts. We just got tapped out by a white belt downstairs. Like, my back's hurting from
Kevin. Like a rusty blue belt.
Yeah, right? We're just both really rusty blue belts, like so we just clicked, and Lem, out of all my friends, has been, like, the person who I feel like has grown the most. Because I remember when I first met you, I would get close to you, and you wouldn't even, like, be like look me in the eyes because you were so, like, shy and into yourself. And I feel like out of all my closest friends, you've been the one that's, like, grown the most for sure.
Oh, thanks.
And I don't know, how long have you been making money online now? Like, 4 years?
4 years. I actually thought about it. So that was 2015, 2019 now. So something about 3 or 4 years. I was looking over my like profit lost and my it's around 4 years.
Okay. Tax stuff. And so Lem's had like multiple e-com stores, and he's done like well over 7 figures in sales. And one thing about you, Lem, that I was always impressed is you've always been like one of the more consistent ones of out of our friends who make money online and do e-commerce, because you know me, like I'll freaking make a ton of money and then I'll party for like 3 months straight. And
I mean, I do something similar too, but I try to keep it updated, I guess.
And you've been, like, one of the best ones to not have really low, like, valleys. So what's some stuff that you would say are, like, the biggest challenges you faced, like, things that you didn't expect when you started business? I remember when we got started, you didn't even have a bank account. I remember I started making money online with Teespring, and then you right away saw, like, oh, this is possible, and you went and started doing arbitrage with eBay before we all got into Shopify.
I was making money through PayPal with like gaming stuff, and I tried arbitrage, but you know, the amount of like talk you have to do with people that you want to like buy from, it's always like haggling, and it could be like tiring because you know they're trying to be like really aggressive, like, oh, I want 50 for this, and sometimes they like attack you personally.
Yeah, it's like emotionally draining, right?
Yeah.
Some people are naturally good at that, like Juan is so good at haggling. My dad, too. Like, I'd go with my dad. I remember when I was young, and I was like, oh, Dad, I saved up this money. I need to go buy a car. Come with me. And he'd be haggling the mechanic guy down, because I'd always buy cars that, like, they bought at the auctions. Then the mechanic fixes it up, and I got them cheap. And I'd see my dad haggling. I'd feel uncomfortable. I'd be like, oh, fuck. Like, come on, it's only $100. Relax, I'll pay the $100. Like, you know?
It's tough with video games because video games are good, but it's really competitive. Someone will have, like, a Madden game, which is, like, not even $1 on eBay.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I bought this for $50. I want at least $10. And I'm, like, trying to convince them, like, I'm not giving you anything
for
that.
Just keep the game.
Yeah, man, it's, like, it's really tough.
Yeah. So when you did that, what was like that? Was that your first like venture into like being self-employed or making money like by yourself or
selling
did
stuff?
Did you even have a job before that?
I was selling stuff like passively, like in-game gold on RuneScape and WoW, but that was not like
nice.
I don't get too into that stuff. So
I mean, I guess it's a good start. I guess it gives you some skills, right?
And like, yeah, like right now in those games, it's really tough because I think like it's like some of those games you need like thousands, millions of gold to even make $10 back then. Mm-hmm. It's like for WoW, like 100 gold was like $15.
Yeah.
RuneScape, like 1 mil could be like 13 bucks.
So how old were you when you were doing that? That was like your first
high school to college years, but yeah.
Oh, okay. No, because I remember, I don't know what year it was that you came and asked me about like something because you didn't even have a bank account yet.
Yeah, because I was using PayPal.
Oh, so you were just using PayPal to do everything on eBay? You didn't even have a bank
account? I didn't need it because it was online. So, yeah, it was easy just to... Mm-hmm. Even with the eBay stuff, like, you know, eBay, you need to have it PayPal. But, yeah, I wasn't. Actually, being around you and, like, always talking about business,
mm-hmm.
I think, like, even with e-com, you need to have people surrounded with, like-minded, like,
right.
mentalities to really, like, get by. And mm-hmm. I think, like, I had no business experience whatsoever. And when I look back, and you're always talking about business, I had, like, very little interest. I just really liked hanging out. I thought we, like, clicked well in mm-hmm. some ways. And I think, like, it really helped the most. It's just, like, you're talking to other people. You're sharing how your day is. Like, I didn't know anything about real estate, how you did business. I didn't even know much about business. I had no interest. I never thought I'd even try to do business. Even though I was selling for myself, I never, like, identified with it.
Yeah. But what was your plan back then? What were you thinking you were going to do?
I was just hoping, like, you know, when you're, like, studying, you don't know what you want to do in the future, and you're kind of just hoping, like, everything works out. You're kind of scared to kind of, like, map it out, so I was hoping I would just suddenly find it,
okay,
like, what I do. If I look back, it didn't make sense, but I was just scared. I was like, maybe if I study this, I'll just go with it. If I don't, I'll just accept it. But, you know, I think that's kind of common, like, I kind of had the bad major, but mm-hmm. if you're, like, about to finish and you're, like... You have to pay a lot of money.
Yeah.
Then it's bad. In places like France, they could just like drop out and like start like another class. We can't really do that here because we have to pay a lot of money.
Oh, in France, it's all free?
Yeah. And, you know, Scandinavian countries, like I know Sweden at least, like it's mm-hmm. okay to start like in your late 20s sometimes as long as you start college. Some people just don't start until 25 and it's normal.
Right.
In America, it's like different.
Okay. No, it's actually really good to have somebody like you here because... like, we have, like, these different backgrounds, like you're saying, like, you weren't sure what you want to do, and you're just going to college for that. My thing was, like, yo, I can't go to college. I need to fucking figure out how to make money ASAP. That's why I was, like, doing that stuff since I was, like, 16, like, figuring out some way to make money. But weren't you, like, trying to be a programmer at one point?
Yeah, for, like,
classes for it.
After the eBay thing, I wasn't taking classes. I was studying, so I went up with, like, Nick, but uh-huh. that didn't really last long. I was learning Python.
And then when did you realize school. Like you don't need to do any of that? Is it when that Shopify money started hitting in?
You really helped me convince me because I was like, nah, I'm just gonna do this programming stuff.
I even remember when a couple of us started making money with Shopify and I was telling him like, yo, you should do this too, dude. Like, and I was like, I think you're gonna be really good at it. And because you were doing eBay at the time and you're like, oh, I don't want to step on your guys' foot or whatever. I'm like, dude, there's so much.
But, like, you know,
so it's, much abundance right now.
From my point of view, I'm thinking, like, oh, that's your business, but, like, I don't know the small details. I just know it's like, oh, I'm in the same field. In some way, we're competing.
But I didn't know.
So, like, even from outsiders, when I tell them what I do, they're like, it's very vague. Sometimes they don't even want to ask about it.
Yeah,
they're really curious. So, like, from, like, an outsider's perspective, it's hard to even want to get to know it. They're like, oh, even if I know it, maybe it's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Are a lot of people curious and do they like ask you like in detail?
Oh, it's terrible sometimes. Like sometimes I'm just traveling. I just mm-hmm. want to talk to people. And then it's like, oh, what do you do? It's like, oh, I work from my computer. That's like, boom. Like I need to switch what I say sometimes because.
Not
because
everybody wants to do that.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, fuck. Like
sometimes
suck this guy's dick.
Yeah. No, it's terrible. It's like sometimes they joke about it. It's like, oh, you should teach me. I'm like, oh, that's hilarious if I didn't hear that all the time.
Yeah. Well, Juan's starting a coaching business. You should just start passing them off to Juan. Juan will pay you like
get
recurring.
Some commission,
He'll pay you recurring commission.
Yeah.
Can add up. Unless you want to do some coaching. Like you were saying in the beginning of this, you don't even know what kind of value you can offer. But I mean, I've known you for so long. I know the kind of value you can offer.
Oh.
One thing is like, I want to know, because a buddy of mine was asking me this, like, to ask people what their biggest, like, pitfalls and stuff. What do you think your biggest pitfall was when you started, like, selling on Shopify with your first store or even your second store? What do you think, like, if you could, like, tell yourself something, like, 4 years ago, what would you tell yourself? Like, a lesson that would, like, save you, like, time, energy, money, brain power?
Other than, like, really knowing how the payment processing works, because if you fuck that up, people don't realize, like, in the U.S., like, say with Shopify, mm-hmm. you can use Shopify payments because you have a U.S. bank account. Other countries, they need to, like, sometimes register a company, pay for the company, and do this other stuff. We just could just enter our bank, like, our address.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's easier.
And we kind of take this for granted?
But if you lose, like, say, Shopify payments, Stripe, due to, like, some downfall with, like inventory.
Couple of our friends did.
Yeah. Like, it's like they had that inventory drop should become unreliable. You have too much, like, chargebacks. You lose your payment system. If you lose PayPal as well, Amazon payments, people might be scared to use your provider. And the ones that you do get that are, like, reliable, that they could trust, that's similar to Stripe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll pay you, like, every 3 months. The second you have only one or two chargebacks, they're going to, like, ban you.
Stripe is super strict. You got to be, like, on point.
But some are worse, you know?
Some are worse. Yeah. I had this one because I signed up for, like, a backup one just in case. I actually thought I was going to get a better fee from it, but I don't know if I didn't read the agreement right, but it's, like, the same fee. It's actually a little bit more expensive. But apparently it's, like, a higher risk one, so I have that as a backup in case I lose anything like that, stuff like that. But, so, have you been, like, what's your plan for, like, living in the U.S.? Because I know you've been living in Japan and Korea for the longest time. And, I have a couple friends now that live full-time in Bali or live full-time in the Philippines and stuff. And they're staying there, like, 11 months out of the year now. So they could pay, like, no taxes. Like, what are your plans in regards to that?
Well, you don't pay no taxes. You pay taxes and then you get refunded. I want to do that. And I really have to weigh out the pros and cons.
Wait, how have you been doing your taxes? Like, how are you planning to do your taxes this year? You do them yourself or you have an accountant?
My cousin does it.
Your cousin does it?
Yeah, he does it for my mom, so he does mine too.
Is he an accountant?
I don't know. He does my mom's fine, so...
Oh, yeah?
Like, whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, your mom's not, like, fucking showing, like, over $1 million a year in gross income, though.
It's really confusing, but she just asked me for profit loss, all this other stuff, and I have it all on an Excel sheet, so...
You throw it in an Excel sheet?
Not all, but like,
well, if you need my guy, let me know. He's like really good.
Yeah, maybe like it was really tough because I had to count all these numbers myself, and I didn't. Yeah. So.
Well, what are you doing?
I'm really good at arithmetic math, so I was like
you
totally
run a
fine with
figure it. Business. You're like, I have a sheet somewhere. I have an Excel sheet somewhere. Oh man, I thought I was bad. Yeah, because you gotta be careful with that, dude. Like, because one wrong thing, the IRS comes after you.
Yeah.
And then they're gonna fucking look at, like, every year. They don't look at just the previous years.
Oh, wow.
And then you make one mistake, they're gonna be like, hey, we don't know, we don't see how this money's working over here. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah, you should definitely get it double checked or something.
Yeah, that's like, see, like, if I'm out around you guys. In Japan, I really like living in Japan, but it's really hard to balance out the pros and cons. Like, you know, it's really fun to live there, but I'm not around, like, a lot of people who are really hustling. They go to more, like, Bali.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with Japan, it's really hard to find people, like...
Have you tried looking? Have you checked, like, meetup.com or anything like that?
Yeah, there is, but, like, for entrepreneurships, from my experience... There's no dropshipping. I looked at, like, dropshipping pretty heavily.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people.
Well, I'm trying to kind of move away from dropshipping. There's nothing like just like plain e-com there. Or what? Can you fly to like Thailand? I hear there's like a huge festival for entrepreneurs who do e-commerce in Thailand like every year. It's like
a
7-day thing or something.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. Yeah. I know Kevin went to Bali.
Yeah.
And he was like at some really popular like,
yeah, that's
co-working
where,
space.
That's where he met I think that's where he met Alex. Alex is, you'll see, he was in my last podcast, so I haven't put that out yet.
But,
And he does SEO for e-com. Oh. Yeah. So, and he says he meets a ton of people like that. But wait, what about co-working spaces in Japan? There's none of that there?
I don't know what they do. It's more like software engineers that, like, move there. More like real estate business. I tried going to WeWork. I tried going to some other ones for, like, small drop-ins. I try to play around, but, it could be tricky. Sometimes they don't even know English. Other times there's foreigners.
Oh, really?
So, it's not really like there's a lot of foreigners, but they prefer to go to Southeast Asia because it's cheaper. And the ones that do, there's so many co-working spaces. They're just spread
is,
out.
Is it just because, oh yeah, you said Japan was pretty expensive.
Yeah, so it kind of veers
here's,
away.
Here's a serious question, though.
What?
Which country are the girls easier at?
Thailand and
Philippines, so. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's like, okay. But yeah, damn, that's actually where most of my friends that say they've been doing business meet most of their connections, so that's
but, interesting. Kevin had this experience where he went to a popular co-working space in Bali, and he went there, he told people, like, yeah, I do drop shipping, and I think a lot of people there know, because they're trying to be, like, digital nomads, or they are, they're trying to be remote workers, and he leaves to go to the bathroom, and everyone just starts talking about him. And he's like, that's a guy, and he, like, comes out, he's, like, really confused.
Yeah, because he said he was talking to everybody, and they were talking about their numbers, and he was saying a lot of people, you know, they have a bomb life, they're, like, working for themselves, but they're doing just enough, they're making just enough money to, like, live there, so they need, like, a cheap place to stay. Yeah. So when they saw his numbers, they were like, holy shit, this guy's, like, on another level and shit. And it's funny, because, like, the group that me and Kevin are at, like, the Blue Ribbon group, Ezra's Mastermind, me and Kevin are in, like, the bottom 10%, I'd say. And those guys are, like, really next-level e-com. They're moving away from dropshipping, branding, everything, getting everything just right, and building a real asset that we can sell, you know? Because it's kind of hard to sell a dropshipping store that we just, you know, make most of the money from, like, Facebook marketing.
Yeah, unless you're Tyler.
Oh, yeah. Are you involved? He should be coming next week. I'm about to have him on the podcast next.
Yeah, I just missed him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Juan said he was coming Monday and Tuesday. So that'll be cool. I want to talk to him. But are you on any groups on Facebook? Are you staying in there?
Yeah, but sometimes I'm skeptical because, you know, you have some people that give advice on...
Well, you got to get the right groups. So I finally found, like, the right groups, you know? Like, my favorite beginner group, I always tell people go to Kingpinning, my buddy Travis Patel's group.
Yeah, that's the one I was in because you were in it. And
yeah, so, I mean, you know, when we started getting into every group because there weren't a lot. That's the only one that I'd say is a really good beginner group that I still see people who are really good there giving advice. But the ones that I've been following now is the Blue Ribbon Mastermind. That's the one that I pay a lot of money for. If you actually had the funds, I would actually recommend, like, you join that, because that's, like, what keeps me seeing, like, oh, these guys are on some next level shit.
How much is it? That's Ezra's group, right?
Yeah, it's 15K a year.
50K?
15.
Oh, 15.
15K a year. And it's, like, 2 in-person masterminds. Like, my buddy was just saying, Dave, who lives 11 months out of the year, he only comes back to go to these masterminds. But it's also, like, a Facebook group along with, like, every month he literally shows you everything on his business.
I have a question.
So he's super transparent, yeah.
That was the one that you went to Miami.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The next one's in July in Seattle.
Oh.
Yeah, and then the other group I'm in is free, but it's, like, crazy because it's only good people. But it's not just e-com. It's a media buying group. It's about traffic and stuff like that. But there's a lot of e-com guys. And the dude who runs it, I'm still not even too sure. I mean, I haven't looked into it, but I'm not too sure about his business model. But it's just crazy amount of value. The guy, like, vets anybody before he lets them, like, start answering things. It's called Purple Labs.
Hmm.
I'll send you an invite to that one. But he every day or every other day, he has somebody on a Facebook Live with him who's, like, a killer, who's, like, amazing and is dropping, like, some serious value and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, I definitely somebody who would say to, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Somebody who would say, like, to really, you know, nothing beats in person and staying around people. But, like, if you don't have that, having, like, Facebook groups who you log in, you see that they're on it every day.
I always think that when people are trying to get into business and trying something, I always tell them, like, the one thing you need to do is, like, surround yourself with the right people.
Yeah.
If you're surrounded by people that are, like, just working 9-to-5s or just, like, doing something just in general totally different.
Yep.
Like, maybe they're just working for themselves, but you need to find, like, the right people.
Yeah.
And I always tell people that's what's going to help you the most. They always ask me, I'm like, that's what you need.
Yeah.
That's how you start. That's how you stay motivated. That's how you get updated. So,
yeah. Tyler was even saying there's no way he would have, like, skyrocketed so fast without surrounding himself with the right people.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of, if somebody was, like, new, what kind of advice would you give them to find the right people?
That's the hard part. I would tell them to be patient, first of all. I would tell them, like, you need to choose, like, your time really wisely. Mm-hmm. You need to surround yourself with the right people. If you're always hanging out with, like, the old people, you're never going to have time to, like, find the right people and, like, go to proper groups and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But
I try to tell people to check out meetup.com and stuff. Like right now,
that's what I do.
Yeah, right now I'm a little bit harder to reach and stuff. But like 5 years ago, I was going through entrepreneurship groups. Like I was super easy, like and accessible.
I found someone through that, but he wasn't making much money
through Meetup.
Yeah, it was like a digital marketing group.
Oh, okay. And in Japan?
Yeah, this was the first person I met who was doing Shopify. Usually I meet people who are like, oh, I travel, I work remotely. But in reality, they just save money and they're just traveling and they're not even working consistently. I'm like, mm-hmm. But they want to call themselves a digital nomad. It's like a term that people
want to use. Yeah, it's like a good term. It's like,
I don't even call myself that.
It's like sexy these days to be a digital nomad.
Yeah. I just tell people I work from my laptop, but
there should be a conference. I mean, I haven't looked, but there should be conferences in Japan that you can go and meet people too. I know the Tan brothers are like near there, right? I don't know where they're from.
It's maybe Singapore. I don't know.
Yeah, probably Singapore. I don't know how close that is. But that's like an easy flight for you, right? To go to conferences in Singapore.
It's way better than the US, so yeah. I should actually look into that. That's actually...
Wait, how long is your flight from here? You're flying here from Vegas straight to Japan?
Yeah.
How long is that?
No, LAX.
Oh, okay. How long is that?
It's actually 11 hours. In New York City, it's 14 hours.
From New York City? It's only 3 hours? It's a globe.
Because, you know, I think maybe it's because we're closer to center.
Wait, what do you mean it's a globe?
The Earth, because even though
the Earth is flat, dude. They've been lying to us. Ask Eddie Bravo.
But yeah, it's 11 hours from LA, but it's 14 from New York, but it's 6 hours from New York to LA. So it's like,
wait, I don't get it. From New York, do you do the other way? Do you go the other way? No,
you fly like I think above like through like Canada-ish.
Oh, really?
These are higher over that way. These are higher like
I'm actually not even sure where in the equator Japan is.
I was actually not sure because, you know, we're American. We're not the best at geography.
Yeah, no. Like, is it... What seasons are there? Like, is it hot? Is it cold?
They have four seasons. They like to brag about it. They think it's, like, unique and special because Southeast Asian people only have, like, one season. So they think they're special.
The whole time?
In Southeast Asia, yeah, because it's like Miami.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they're like, did you know we have four seasons? Like, yes, I have four seasons too in Connecticut. So
wait, Connecticut, we have four seasons?
Yeah, spring.
That's what it counts?
What?
That's what it means to have four seasons?
Like spring, summer, fall, winter.
Oh, God, but it's such a long winter over there. Such a long, terrible winter back in Connecticut.
I think it's a personal thing with you.
I don't like it. You like the winter, right? You always like New York.
Yeah.
No, I probably like it now because now I have friends there. After I moved to Miami, I made friends from New York, like Bruno and stuff.
A lot of people from Miami come from New York, I noticed. Did you notice that? It's like they're always from, like, I'm from New York.
No, I noticed more from Chicago.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, weird. Randomly. Like, I'd be like, I never met anybody from Chicago when I was in, like, Connecticut, but then I go to Miami, everyone's from Chicago. But did you know Bruno from New York, the DJ?
Bruno, you guys, yeah, I met him, mm-hmm. like, briefly, but I didn't know him too much.
He's super nice. But, he's, every time I'm, like, in New York, he, like, takes me out and shit, so now
I
actually have
food
fun.
With him,
and
Ivan.
Mm-hmm.
He was, like, really stylish, and you guys were
really stylish. Good. Yeah, I don't even remember when that was, but I'm sure we did. Yeah, I don't know. I almost feel not bad, but it's like I try to give advice. I just like I'm very overwhelmed, so I don't have too much of my time to give when people ask for help. So I'm always like here's what I would do. Like go here, you can get like courses here or whatever. This is where you can do a lot of training and then check out like kingpinning for like a group for beginners and stuff like that. And I always tell them to check meetup.com and see if there's entrepreneurs in the area who want to like get started with them, because I really can't just be like, you know. A lot of people always been saying like, oh, do you have any trainings or whatever? Do you do coaching? But I'm just not, I don't know if I'm the coaching type. I'm just not in the mood for that.
Oh, you just actually made me think of something. I did go to meetups. I would try to go to some of these marketing meetups and I would be like, oh, I could find someone I could relate with.
Mm-hmm.
But what ended up happening is everyone there is looking for someone like me and I get nothing out of it. So I think it was really like demotivating, but I still need to go. I'm like, oh, I still need to go. I still want to find people.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
I get lucky. It's better than nothing at least right now.
Stuff like that is the kind of stuff that makes me think maybe I should like start coaching, but not really. Like if I was in that situation, I would probably start doing some coaching just so I can talk to people and fucking actually get some kind of a benefit from like being a mentor to somebody.
Happened to you in Canada. You paid for a group like John Max, and then like it was like a group. It was like 10,000 to get in or something, and then everyone.
No, John Max coaching. I didn't go to Canada. Luigi, he gave me coaching. He was great.
No, it was somewhere that you went, I think, and then everyone there was, like, asking you for, like, help because you were the one making the most money, but everyone there just paid to hopefully find someone that was successful. Was that you?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe that's it was a little Seattle vague. Or something. I don't know. So you went to,
like, I mean, I've been to a lot of, but I mean, a lot of the conferences that I go to, if they're, like, newer conferences, especially back when, during my party days, I literally wouldn't go to the conference, and I would just, like, be sleeping until 1 p.m., and then I would show up to, like, the VIP parties after to talk to the speakers. Oh, we did that in San Diego. Yeah. To talk to the speakers, you know, like, that's how I met, like, Peter Chan and, like, Lawrence and stuff, because, like...
They're doing well.
Huh?
They're doing
Yeah, well. They're doing pretty good. Yeah, I met them because I did the whole conference, and then I just wouldn't go to the conference. It was kind of just too newbie stuff at first. And then after they were having, like, Mastermind with just, like, Chris Record and, like, all the high-level guys. So I just was like, oh, let me pay for this and actually stay and pay attention instead of, like, going out. I think I was just, like, I just had gotten over, like, a breakup then. So I was just, like, on Tinder the whole time I was at the conference. Like, I'd show up at, like, 1 p.m., stay for, like, a talk, and then leave. But good times. I think that was, like, the start of 2016. But, yeah, I think if I was where you're at, I would consider doing that. Because, like, right now, I'm, you know, we got the whole house. I'm always surrounded by that. If anything, I need to focus more and stop talking to people so much.
Yeah.
But if I was where you were at, like, if you do go to these things and people are, like, trying to meet you, you might actually consider doing some coaching almost as, like, a fun thing. I know you don't need the money from it, but... Might be fun. Like, how's it going with coach and your girlfriend?
Oh, she did good. Like, after a month, she made 500 profit in a week, and mm-hmm. she didn't even realize it. And but she hasn't been consistent, so I told her to.
Yeah.
I told her, oh, follow everything I do, and things will be fine.
Yeah.
So what happened is she fell out of it like 50%, and things didn't start going that well.
Right.
So she still gets sales, but it's like maybe 100. Ish a week, and uh-huh. It's not consistent. She's spending ads. She's not modifying it enough.
Okay.
So I was like, she was a little disheartened. I said, oh, Elsie, I want to give her like more positive affirmation, because I think even people don't say that to themselves much.
Uh-huh.
I think people are more like hard on themselves,
mm-hmm.
but they're always trying to be nice to other people. So I try to tell her like, oh, you know, Elsie, you know, you're just not being consistent right now. You know how to do it. You just need to keep being consistent. I think yeah. you'll do great.
How many hours are you guys working together?
Because
I know you've been traveling a lot, so it's like...
It's terrible right now. It's hard, right? But in Tokyo, it was like... We could get like at least 5-6 hours in.
A week?
No, a day.
Okay. So that's when things were going pretty good.
Yeah, we got a... That's when I was trying WeWork, but it didn't go out well, so we canceled after a month. And we would just wake up, do our morning routine, maybe grab food first so we didn't have to get it there, then go mm-hmm. straight there and be late at night, and then we just leave. It was a good routine.
Yeah. Because, just seeing the way you talk to her, I feel like you're probably, like, a good teacher. I don't know if I'd be. Like, I always, like, see myself. Sometimes I forget how much knowledge I actually have until people start asking me questions and I really get into it. But, from hearing you, I feel like you'd be a great teacher. Like, you might even consider doing that, because that's a good way to just even build up people around you.
I think I'm good at encouraging her and mm-hmm. doing well, but I'm bad at having a structure.
Oh, having a structure.
So, like, I'll tell her something, but I'll leave out something totally important that was too advanced, right. And I'll go back. So, that's great to have the beginner courses. Yeah. A lot of these people on YouTube are selling, like, I mean, you know, like courses or free like content.
And I usually just tell people to get on GetWSO and fucking get them all pirated.
Yeah, so like
information should be free. No,
it's really good for like someone who starts, like how to build your store. It's like
mm-hmm.
I could teach her that, but that's really basic and it's really time consuming.
Yeah, Kevin David's got like a whole like hour long how to build your store free on YouTube. That's not even bad. He even has good like Facebook training on there, like real good, like right on YouTube for free.
One thing people actually fall in a trap with is, and I saw this with Elsie and I saw this with Greg. Greg's actually doing fine.
Oh, yeah? Nice.
Yeah, and I helped him out. Well, he's doing fine right now. I hope he'll still do fine. Is prioritizing what to do. Like, some people are like, oh, I want to work on my, like, my web page, my landing page, and it's like you're not even getting like people clicking on your website. You need to prioritize like the right thing. Some people are working on their logo for like one day.
Right,
they're not going to look on that. It's like you're trying to make a website for a customer who's going to view that for 2 seconds, not you who wants to like think it's like, oh, this looks really good.
Yeah.
It's like they're seeing it from their perspective, not the customers that they want to like see, like target.
Right.
Yeah.
So. What do you think like is a good priority then? Like, what should you work on first? Because I remember Kevin, like, when, this was a couple of years ago, I remember Kevin was, like, doing 6 figures a month with a store that didn't have the logo. He forgot to change the footer. Have a homepage.
And that's a perfect example. Igor did something similar. Yeah. And it's a perfect example of, like, he probably could get more sales, but, oh, maybe if we work on a landing page, that's, like, 6% increase of your store max of, like, sales. But like working on your ads is like 2,000% increase. It's like you do that when you don't have to work on ads as well.
Right.
And like, and the thing to prioritize to answer your question is it just depends on where you're at. So I think it's like too hard to really say.
Right.
But it is a trap people
fall into. I agree, because I do like the thing about try to get things done and get your first sale online as fast as possible, because it gives you that like spark inside there. You're like, oh, okay, I did it, I got my first sale, it works, and it gives you that belief.
But you know what happens? People, like, they'll work on their store for like a week, then put up a product, and then feel demotivated.
Oh yeah,
because they like have a beautiful store.
And to be honest, I feel like I got lucky that I got started with Teespring and not Shopify, because with Teespring you don't have to do anything, you just put in the design on the shirt, everything else is taken care of for you. Because I remember when I moved from Teespring to Shopify, it took me like 2 weeks to get started. I was on my store working 2 weeks, but I had an assistant then, Igor, and he was already like doing all the other stuff for me. Even now, but you're 100% right on that prioritization stuff, because now even the brand that I have with Tony, I notice he's like super good at getting things done. He gets things done a lot faster than me. And we work really well together, because he's like a doer. He gets things done, and I'm like a more of a thinker. So I like to like see things and point him the right direction. So if I'm not like pointing him the right direction, sometimes he's working like, you know, 100 miles an hour, at, you know, prioritizing the wrong thing.
That's one thing you're really good at, is like trying to, and you always said this, and I really admire this from you, and I don't think I tell you this enough because I didn't appreciate it as much before, is, but you try to look at the strengths of other people.
Yeah.
And you always went over that. While other people are trying to criticize, like, analyze people's character sometimes in a way that's, like, almost judgmental.
Yep.
It's, like, you really just try to see the good. And it's not even, like, the good. It's, like, strengths and weaknesses. And it's not even labeled as good or bad. And I really like that, how you could see people and, like, try to, like, see their better qualities.
Yeah.
And, like, better qualities usually have, like, a negative effect. It's just, like, a balance.
Yeah, it's a balance.
So people don't realize it. They'll, like, criticize someone's negative side and not appreciate, like, what it could bring on a positive effect and just see it as, like, a bad personality.
100%.
Yeah, so, like, that's one thing I was realizing last year, and I had, like, great appreciation for that from you.
Yeah, I'm glad you noticed that. Yeah, because that's one thing I try to do a lot, because every time, like, somebody, like, if I see somebody who, like, other people are like, oh, this kid's, like, you know, excuse my French, but retarded, I always see that. I'm like, yo, he must be really strong somewhere else. That's like the first thing that goes through my head. Like, you see somebody like Kevin, who's like an e-com genius, like super good at so many things, but then he doesn't know how to like clean a dish properly. You know what I mean? But
it was really bad before. Like, he'll like start throwing his trash.
He's so good now. Like, he's like on point. That's what happens when you live with me for like a year and a half. Oh man, Kevin's funny. He's probably gonna be like the third person I get on this podcast. Third person after you will be you, probably Tyler. I gotta try to have Luca on here too before you move. Have you met him yet?
No. Oh, it's like, man, this,
you,
like,
you'd hate him.
Well, you caught him.
You guys would be talk, because if you talk ideas and business with him, you'd get along with him perfect. If you have him as a house guest, you'd kill yourself.
He said he was quite messy, right?
Yeah, but he probably doesn't listen to this anyways. Fuck it. That's funny. But yeah, something actually I realized from like really good teachers is they have two things they do really well, right? So one is they do have a really good structure. Like, I remember John Mack, really good teacher, had his structure like down. Like,
he was really good, like, at having a good structure.
He had everything, had like different names. Like, I could tell that he was one of those, because now everyone's trying to be a guru. And like, I see these kids on YouTube bragging about how it took them a day to create a course. I'm like, how much effort
Are you and then you see like how much like,
do you actually want your students to freaking succeed?
You see their sales, and it's really like, from someone who knows stuff, you know how like specifically butchered.
Yeah, but that's
a different story.
Yeah. Anyways, but the good teachers are the ones like they not only do they have a structure, but the way they talk, like I could tell like that people like Ezra Firestone, John Mack, and those guys, Don Wilson, that they put effort into learning how to teach properly. Like they even speak and they'll repeat the same lesson, not the same lesson, but the same point on the lesson in multiple ways so that like our personalities, like if we have different personalities, we take it in different ways and we really try to take it in. Because a lot of people, they have a certain way to learn or a certain way to understand things and they only teach in that way. And then, you know, everybody's different. So only like 25% of people are really going to take that in. Where like the really good teachers, like they try to talk and like the and repeat the lesson in like four different ways. Like I forgot who was telling me this, but they were telling me like you got to communicate to people in a whole different way. I don't remember if like it's in the way of like the disc test or what, but
I think that's just teaching in general, because you know RSD like they try to do that. They say pretty much the same message in different like
ways, like contexts. And, yeah, and it's I don't know. I really am impressed with people like that, because you ever watch them. Courses and you just like you're just like what the fuck is this and you have to stop.
I'm like really confused. Yeah. I can't relate to them.
There's some course that I'll watch and I'll like be mad when it's over because I'm like, oh, this guy was really good, like actually got me interested in stuff. You see that a lot in these conferences that I go to, because you'll get like a speaker up there that will just talk about something and you're just like super engaged. Like some of them are just so good. And then there's other ones that's like, all right, I need to get the fuck out this room.
You know, I haven't watched his content, but I'm guessing that's how you feel about Sam Ovens. Or is that true or no?
In a way that or I just think like he's really good.
Giving out when he gives out value.
No, honestly, I think Sam Ovens, his content is so good. It's so good. But he's not the most exciting guy to listen to.
Oh, so it's like...
But he's a genius and I need to like... literally force myself to listen to him because he's like literally changing the way I do business, to be honest, because I've seen him before and I'm just like, nah, I'm good. And the only time I really like started paying attention to him was when I saw Alex Becker repeating his words, not repeating his words, but he, you know, pretty much said the same thing Sam was saying it, but in that Alex Becker kind of way. Like, you watched some of Alex's stuff before?
Yeah,
and you know how he talks. He's very exciting, very like animated, very easy to listen to. So when Alex started bringing that up, I was like, all right, I gotta start listening to Sam Ovens. And the way he said it just clicked in my brain a lot. Like, I kind of wish he would throw more videos out there, like pretty much just preaching Sam Ovens lessons just in a cool way. Mm-hmm. Which is why one of the reasons too I want to kind of start doing YouTube stuff, because I feel like I talk about things in a more real and like genuine way too. Are you thirsty too? I'm like,
you know, jiu-jitsu.
Hold on,
we did jiu-jitsu.
Let me run real quick. What have you been doing in your free time lately?
Just trying to manage goals, projects, and stuff. So I wanted to have a hobby that was like something I could do on the go if I'm waiting for people.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, say, because most of my time's gonna be for work.
Yeah.
If I'm like waiting, say if I was a restaurant waiting for you, I wanted something I could do like read or something. If I was like maybe on the
hobby?
Train, yeah.
Because if you want something non-productive, you know what the most addictive thing I've like played in so long has been?
What?
Hearthstone.
Oh
my god!
I didn't know you were
played
playing that. No.
Dude.
It's really popular on Twitch, you know.
Bro, it's like Magic the Gathering and Yu-Gi-Oh like combined. It's so fun.
But you have to pay a lot of like for the cards.
Not really, because well,
I heard
what
they give you like
I draft,
a bad deck.
I draft though, What's so that like mean? That means like you pay like $2, and then you do like where you make your own deck on the fly, and you go against other people make their own deck on the fly. But to be honest, the last time I played was when I was like, when my flight was delayed, so I downloaded it and just played it for a couple hours, and it's too luck based at this moment. I feel like it's too like there's a lot of skill there and there's ways to grow, but like. You can't just be the best. You gotta like, you just gotta have a better win ratio, because a lot of it is pretty luck based. There's like just too much things going on, but it's so exciting that you don't even see it. For like somebody like me who likes games, who likes competitive things and intellectual things, I love it. But it's not, you know, it's not a productive hobby. You know, I don't know what else would be, like, a productive hobby you can do with your phone.
For me, with, like, my habits, I think, like, there's a lot of, like, problems with me right now where I'm trying to, like, fight emotional urges. So mm-hmm. I talk about self-control.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I really don't, I need to read 10 minutes. I really don't want to. But I know if I force myself in that moment, I feel more calm. I feel more relaxed. Sometimes when I'm reading for, like, 10 minutes, I have a book. I usually choose a book. And then I'm reading the book. I'm really, like, still in the mindset. It's like, I don't want to read.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like when I'm trying to listen to, like, certain things. Like,
well, if you like, do you get enjoyment after you start reading? Because if you really don't want to read, it might be beneficial to, like, find a different thing to do or something different to...
It's not that. I think it's just bad listening skills. Because sometimes if, like, I want to, like, be on a controversial, like, read something controversial, it would maybe be hard for me. It's like, I don't want to read it. But I feel like part of me is like, yeah, I should read it just to be more open-minded. It really helps me, like... It actually, I think, helps
me. What do you mean, something controversial? Like an article? Or like...
Article or like a debate. Like, no, like, just say, like... This is not an example for me, but just for, like, in general. Like, say if someone's making really bad vegan, like, posts and debating. And they're trying to, like, call people, like, murderers and stuff. Yeah. And they, like, maybe they're appealing too much to emotion. Mm-hmm. And they do have a point, but it's really bad. It's like, oh, I don't even want to listen to it because it's illogical.
Yeah.
But part of me is like, I should read this and just see where they're coming from. And how are they being like this? And how are they, like relating it to emotions and not, like, logical? Or if they're too, like, logical and not too emotional. So
wait, so which side are you on now? Are you, like, because now you're going vegan and stuff. How long have you been vegan?
Vegan's a lifestyle, so I'm just dieting.
How long have you been posting condescending Facebook posts about
meat is murder? I don't even do that.
No, I'm just kidding.
You know, like, when, because I'm trying to read more about it and how it affects the diet, and I'm curious what they have to say, but I know I want to eat meat. I actually think it's needed, in my opinion. But
oh yeah, you're over here trying a vegan diet and we're talking about going to fucking Korean steakhouse.
Yeah, I'm gonna break it. I think, like, maybe, like, some people call it casual vegan.
Yo, hold up, so was that, like, when we ate at the vegan spot yesterday, was that the first time you've eaten sushi?
No.
When, because you said you hate fish.
But that wasn't sushi. There was no fish in it.
It was vegan sushi. There was no fish in it, but it tasted like it.
I tried it at Nobu first time with Igor, though. Mm-hmm. And I tried it some other times, and I couldn't swallow it.
Really?
I felt really bad.
You think it's, like, a mental thing?
It is a mental thing. Because
it tastes just like it. Like, the sushi we had at the vegan
place. I tried, yesterday, like, those crazy, like, shrimp tempura ones. I was able to eat those, actually.
Okay, yeah,
because it covers the taste in the aroma of the fish. But when my mom was in New York City, I wanted to treat her to some good food. Because, you know, she doesn't work. She, like, I mean, she works too much. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have a break, I mean. And I took her to Nobu. Just because I was like,
my mom would have smacked the shit out of me if I took her to Nobu.
Really?
It's like, you're wasting your money.
I think Asian mentality is sometimes like, oh, it's nice to have something luxurious.
Oh, but, nice,
Yeah, so I want her to try some, like, bluefin tuna, which is this nicer tuna, and she appreciated it. And my girlfriend was trying to say, oh, you should try it. And I was like, yeah, I should. I told her I want to try more and try to break it. But I think she felt really bad how sad I looked, and I was trying to chew, and I had to drink a lot of water after. But
you should have just ordered the Kobe beef for yourself.
I did.
Oh, okay. Like, I did. What do you think?
Yeah, so I do try every now and then. It's been tough every time, but I do make efforts.
Yeah.
But maybe, like, twice a year.
No, but Chef Kenny's. If anybody's ever in Las Vegas and you're vegan, go to Chef Kenny's.
Fucking good. Get the rolls.
Yeah, they're rated as, like, number one vegan place here. And I guess he's got, like, three vegan restaurants. The other ones are, like, fast food, though. Phil took me to one. I thought the burger tasted pretty much the same and stuff. It's pretty cool. I like
where they're
going with it. Like, I'm not vegan. I don't plan to be, but I'm open-minded to it.
Vegans have good meatballs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you have a good, like, tomato-based sauce and
Phil,
stuff.
Phil fucking got really good at making tomato-based sauce ever since he went vegan.
There's, like, they could go really crazy sometimes with, like,
spices. I don't mind. Because Phil, like, he was a good cook before, and then he just changed Brazilian food and made Brazilian food without, like, meat.
Meat and, like, milk.
Which is,
and stuff.
It's known for it, but, yeah, and milk and stuff. But we never, Brazilian food doesn't really have too much of that anyways. But so what other habits are you working on?
Well, the vegan diet's one, but it's a more like plant-based diet.
Yeah, before and, that
it's a keto diet.
Before that, try check out this book. It might you might like it. It's called Master Today. It's like sounds kind of like Aubrey Marx's book Own Today, but it's called Master Today. Mm. It's actually by my buddy Alexander Hine. I just like kind of followed up to see what he was doing after a couple of years. He was somebody who I met in an entrepreneur group like 6-7 years ago. I haven't seen him in a couple of years though, but turns out he's got like 250,000 YouTube subscribers. He's like on his grind. He has coaching clients that he helps either lose weight or like hit peak performance. So he's doing great. So I'm just finishing up his book before I try to reconnect with him and everything. And it's talking a lot about habits, like a lot about building habits, picking the right habits to implement, right habits that you're going to stick to. Like when I started really dialing down a morning routine last summer, it's completely different than my morning routine now, because I was like experimenting with things and seeing what worked and what didn't and everything.
I think it has to be said too that like the whole idea of like goals versus habits, people like they have like an end goal, but they don't realize that, like, it's like kind of harder to stick to a goal when you have habits. It's easier to stay like daily right. and consistent.
Oh, so yeah, I just wanted to say book. That. He talks a ton about that. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're gonna love it. The thing he talks about though that really clicked in my mind is like you were saying, like you don't like to read or whatever. He was saying like pick something similar that you like to do, right? So I noticed I don't like to read books, so I have to like listen to audiobooks. But I want to add an extra thing because him and a couple other people were talking about like your morning routine needs to energize you. And when I first created it, it was actually draining me because I was adding things that I was like, do a full 15-minute ab workout, do other things that take a bunch of my willpower that I just don't want to do. So I cut that off, yeah. And now I started putting actually motivating things because I was thinking, what can I do in the morning that won't distract me but will motivate me, you know? Because there's a lot of things that will just distract me if I put it in that, you know?
That's a good way to put it, because there were some things I was putting that did like drain me. Like sometimes I want to do stretches, but yeah, I do it for too long. Maybe I should like shorten and do it like later in the day, because maybe I'm sitting down too long.
Yep. I know exactly.
Journaling is tiring. Writing is something people easily procrastinate on sometimes.
Right.
When they're tired.
Right.
And then,
it's funny. I think we have a lot of the same habits, their morning routines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I do a stretch thing too, and when I first put it in, I'll do 15-minute ab exercise, 10 minutes of stretching. So I cut the ab exercise completely. I'm like, fuck that. That's like...
Do that at nighttime. You could like force yourself sometimes.
Maybe before the summer, I might put it back in. But then the stretching was taking too long. So now I just put quick stretch. And whatever I feel like, it could be a 3-minute stretch. It could be a 8-minute stretch. It could be a 15-minute stretch. It's whatever I'm feeling like.
Oh, that's why I put my Habitica. It's like, as long as I'm getting some sort of workout done, yeah. I put it down.
Right.
So it's like stretching, running, actually going to the gym. I'm like, all right.
You do that in the morning too?
That's on my habits, but
okay.
In general, like I'm supposed to stretch, but if I stretch like more seriously.
For people who don't know, we're like talking like in very specific terms with the app that we use, the Habitica app. I'm going to throw it on the fucking video. Okay. So maybe we get it. But there's sections where you put like things in your like daily where you have to do them every day. And there's And there's a section that, like, you know, you can just do it whenever you want. But that's what he means. Like, I put it in my habits. That's the section that you can do it whatever you want. It's not, like, a mandatory do it every day thing. But, yeah, go on.
I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, but, yeah, so when I put that, I just do what I feel. And then I'm listening to an audiobook while I'm doing my stretching, while I'm doing the other things. But one thing that's been really energizing me that I've been doing the last, like, 2 weeks or so is a lot of times, like, mostly I either put my phone on do not disturb or just like put it on airplane mode altogether. Right now it's not that distracting because I'm just like been off social media. I don't even have Instagram on my phone right now. And I unfollowed everything on Facebook. I don't really watch people's stuff on Snapchat. So it hasn't been that distracting. But what I've been doing is like I'll roll over out of bed and I'll grab my iPad and I'll try to watch like a motivating video. Like it's whatever is motivating you. For me, like I watch a lot of Top Think. Have you heard of them?
No.
It's a YouTube channel that I really like. But any kind of motivating video that'll get me like, oh fuck, all right, let me get on my shit. You know, a lot of people, like, if you're more emotional, I'd say, like, watch, like, one of those, like, how bad do you want it
videos. I try to do, like, some RSD or some, like, rant. There's actually some more motivation videos, but there's not too many that I found.
Yeah.
But after a while, actually watching motivation videos, like, every day, I was getting tired of it, and I was actually ready, like, okay, doing my routine.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So, I just, no, like, I, put I it can as see what you mean, yeah. optional.
Yeah.
Because... Actually, before, I used to be overweight before I met you, and I'd go to the gym every day, and I'd watch, like, a motivational video, so I thought it'd work again, but this time, like, when I got my shit together.
Check out Top Thing, because I think you'll like that, because it's not just motivation.
Yeah.
It's actually, like, something stimulating. Like, I'd say it's, like you like Mark Manson stuff, right?
Yeah.
I'd say it's a more stimulating version of Mark Manson stuff.
Okay.
Like, in, like, a top 10, like, a lot of it is in top 10 lists, like... A really amazing one that I saw this week that I was like, oh shit, this was good, was 7 Habits That Are Destroying Your Motivation.
Oh, you're really convinced video. Me. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, yeah, it's really good. So, because sometimes I'll be like, fuck, I don't want to get out of bed. I mean, we all have that, right? And then I don't know where I was reading. It's like, yeah, your morning routine's supposed to energize you. It's supposed to energize you. I'm like, there's nothing really I'm doing that's energizing. And then I realized that. Depending on the kind of videos I watch, I will get energized. So I remember I watched one thing and it just made me hop out of bed. It's something just hit my brain. I'm like, yeah, I want it. I want to fucking get shit done. So that's the first thing I do. I do that. Then I make my bed. And then I'll make my bed and then I'll drink a bunch of water and have my supplements. And then I'll do some kind of exercise. I change it up. Either I'll jump rope, jump on my trampoline, or I'll practice shuffling. I've been trying to, like, get good at shuffling
for EDC. I remember EDC, you said that.
But everyone's going to see me at EDC now if they watch this. They're like, yo, you've been practicing? They're going to see. I'm like, no, I jump rope hype. More. I've been jumping rope way more.
Sorry about me using my phone. I'm actually writing down notes.
Oh, no, there. I figured you were writing notes, yeah. So then I'll do that because, I mean, almost everybody's saying that's, like, one thing you should add, and then you get, like, your heart be going, and then I'll do the stretching. And then I'll brush my teeth, and then I think I might do a video on my morning routine, too. And then I'll meditate, journal, read over goals.
You know, all you have this, like, problem. I don't know if this is even a problem, but sometimes I just want to wake up, like, say, fuck my morning routine, and just, like, straight up work until, like,
so,
evening.
Yeah, so here's what I had that problem. So here's how it's I fixed it. It's a problem. It. Yeah.
Okay.
Here's how I fixed it. I made the morning routine way shorter. Like, if I bust my morning routine out, I get it done in 40 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, that was how I fixed that problem. Because before, like, when I first started, I made the morning routine an hour and a half.
Can you go over, like, what makes it a problem? Like...
To me, it's supposed to motivate you. And I feel like if I was woke up and I had momentum from work, and I'm like, fuck, I'm motivated to work, but I gotta finish my morning routine... I think that's what made it a problem. Like, I'm using that motivation and, like, I'm not motivated to do the morning
routine. Because it's not energizing you. You see it as, like, a obstacle.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Okay.
So it's, like, something that was taking my willpower instead of, like, priming it. Instead of priming me to go and fucking handle my shit. Now it's, like, I can get up and get my morning routine done in 40 minutes. And, like, it's, like, okay, do this, get my experience points on Habitica and get to work.
You know, I don't know if you have this problem... But I want to watch videos, or I was watching it before, but sometimes I would just check my, like, messages, my social media real quick. Yeah. Especially if I'm in Japan, I want to see if, like, oh, do I have any important messages because I was sleeping. But I know it could, like, wait an hour. Yeah. I know it could wait 2 hours, but it's just a bad habit.
Yeah.
So, like, I'd want to put on airplane mode, but sometimes I'd put it on, like... Or like, I turn it off, I'd watch a video, and I end up watching, like, some other random video. And I just stopped watching the videos right now, because I don't know.
Do you have an iPad?
No, I just use my phone. Is, like, iPad better for that, or you download them?
So here's the thing. If my iPhone's on airplane mode, because I don't want to see messages or whatever, my iPad doesn't get messages, doesn't get notifications or anything like that. And even if I know the video I want to watch the night before, so I don't get distracted. And
you choose it.
I'll choose it, and I'll leave it on YouTube.
Oh.
And then I'll wake up and fucking... Usually I fall asleep listening to a podcast on my iPad. Or some kind of YouTube video, like a long one on my iPad. So then I kind of just wake up, pick it up, and like watch like a video that's like queued up there.
You know, one thing you really told me is like... Your morning routine starts the night before. And that's so true. Like not using your phone... Like maybe 30 minutes an hour. Yeah.
I wish I could take my own advice. That's like a huge problem that I still have is like setting up like
Dude, that helps me so much, but if I have weak willpower, it's easy. If I'm talking to my girlfriend, if I'm having bad time management, it's easy for me to break it.
Yeah, it's really easy for me to break it.
If I, like, don't know what to eat, I'm spending, like, maybe up to 30 minutes to an hour. Mm-hmm. It's, like, 30 minutes to an hour is how much time, like, I need every day to, like, study a language.
Right.
To slowly, like, get better.
Right, right.
And, like, you know, I'm trying to learn Japanese, trying to learn French.
Yep.
It's, like, it's kind of tough.
How much is a private chef over there? You might want to check out, like, you know, one of those southern...
Delivery
southern,
fees is only, like, $1, $2 for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I live in a really dense area.
Yeah. My thing is just, like, here, I can't get anything too healthy from delivery.
I know what you mean.
You know, I feel like I'd get way better food if I cook for myself. But, I don't know. One thing I definitely want to try in, like, a couple years is, people were telling me for, like, $1,000 a month, I can have a whole, like, full staff in one of those southern Asian countries.
Oh, yeah. Even Asians, like, they hire driver, other servants masseuse, and stuff. Yeah, know, they have like a taxi driver.
Yeah.
Or not taxi, like that a private amazing. Driver.
I would totally want to try that. Some bomb ass like food.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be down too.
But yeah, but you and your girlfriend like take turns cooking, or how do you guys do that?
I usually cook because I've chosen how to cook and I do it faster.
Mm-hmm.
But I prefer if she cooks. I prefer if she does the dishes because I tell her right now since she's training that. I think I should focus more on stuff I need to do right now.
Ah, okay.
Like,
yeah,
I think it's like it's an imbalance, and I told her like maybe we should just accept this, and it'll be more balanced in the future. Yeah. But if we're a relationship or a team, I think this is good for me right now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she should definitely like. She understood. You teaching her to cook?
Yes.
Watching me outside, like this motherfucker.
I'm teaching her how to cook, but just like passively. Mm-hmm. So I never actually had a practice. I think I'm so like in a habit of just doing it myself, and I actually enjoy it, but I need to like realize like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. She helps me with the dishes more though.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Because that's what I hate to do is dishes. Yeah, like I don't mind dishes. Cooking.
Especially if you're experimenting. Sometimes you'll lose too many pans, plates.
And usually now we have like, because here in the house we have like groups, cooking groups. So it's like me, Juan, and Tony are in one. So like we go to a store together, we buy stuff we know what we're cooking. So usually me or Juan cook, and then Tony would just clean up after. So we kind of know what we're cooking and when. Well, like not really when. If I wake up early, I'll get my I'll drink a shake and cook after. If I wake up like really late, like everyone gets is hungry by then, so then I'll do the food first and I'll have a shake later and stuff like that. How good are you guys at like waking up at the same time and stuff? Not the same time, but like the same time every day.
I'm really strict with that. I think Elsie, I would like her to do it more, but she suffers from insomnia like most of her life. So it's something that we have troubles with, and it could be bad for like our schedule planning. So I just had to accept it. It's like sometimes I want to be excited, I want to do stuff,
what
I
time?
Want to sleep earlier.
Oh, okay.
She'll like go to bed at 12, but she'll sleep at 2 a.m. She'll try to take melatonin pills.
Damn.
Which are not really the best, but she's been prescribed stuff. Maybe she just needs to get off of it and try something else.
Check out Joe Rogan has a podcast with a sleep guy, and it's 2 hours of just value on it. That's things you could try. Also, did I show my Oura ring?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, that shit's kind of expensive. I don't know if it actually helps, though. But the other thing is, like, I can't sleep unless I have, like, something playing in the background distracting me, unless I'm really, really tired. So that's why I always
sleep
go to
audiobooks.
Sleep. Audiobooks, not really as much anymore, because like audiobooks, I want to like listen and actually understand them. Because so I'll sleep usually with like a podcast playing, so I'll get like some gist, but I don't have to really go through the whole thing. I can just like listen to 20 minutes and I'll be asleep by then.
Oh, by the way, should we wrap things up? Because
yeah, how long have we been talking? I took like some Phenibut before we started, and freaking. I'm, like, really enjoying this conversation.
Yeah,
about an hour. We're good. All right, Lem, I know you don't want anybody to bother you, so this is normally the part where I'm like, oh, do you want to plug? Where do you want people to hit you up? But
yeah,
I'm okay. It's like, don't bother him, guys. Don't go to... I actually don't even know your screen name, so I can't even, like, blast you. Like, Nick, put a screen name on here. Tell people to... I'm just kidding. But Lem, thanks for being here. Lem's going back to Japan in, like, a week. So when he's back, maybe in the fall, I'll have Mon again. But yeah, thanks, man.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff.